Drivers admit dangerous habits in AAA survey.
Wow, okay. They were honest in this survey?
Yes, because it is anonymous.
Oh, right. Well, then I can't tell my bad habits because
yeah, you can.
Everybody knows.
A new AAA survey on dangerous habits people have while driving is out. Mm. Drivers are revealing their bad behavior. They say it's a self-reported behavior. These behaviors are people would not admit to a friend or neighbor, but were willing to because it's anonymous.
Hmm.
So that's what we're going to ask you to do today.
Yeah, because it's anonymous. If you call 818-955-KLOS, we don't know who you are.
And tell us your bad driving behavior.
Yeah, you know, you
we
know.
We all have it.
Yeah, you all know what you do. What do you do wrong,
one
Kevin?
One of mine is that I...
It's anonymous. No one will know who you are, Kevin.
Right, sure.
Kevin.
One of mine is that I try to change lanes a lot to get where I'm going faster. Yes, because people bug me because they're going
so
slowly.
Slow, yeah.
But, you know, when they look at how much time you save doing that, it's almost negligible. It's almost nothing.
That is so true. And the way I finally figured that out was that you just keep, you know, coming up next to that stupid ancient camper that's going 3 yep. miles an hour, always comes rolling up next to you.
Yep, that's
the hare and the tortoise. It's sadly true.
The survey found that more than half of drivers admitted to dangerous activities while on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're going to look for you to admit, 818-955-KLOS. Speed is the most common.
That's mine, 100%. Definitely go way too fast, always.
But nearly one-third of drivers say they've driven distracted or aggressively.
Not me. Well, not distracted. I can't stand when people are texting or holding
Same.
A phone to their head. I hate
Same.
That. I stare. You know, that's one of the things that bugs me most about movies and
I'm
television.
Sorry, you stare at what?
Just a straight ahead, you know,
oh, okay.
like watching
oh,
the
I
road.
See what
you
say.
But when you're watching a movie or TV, they look over at the passenger while they're driving. They're talking for an hour and a half. They're saying, oh, this, that, and the other thing. And they don't have a rear view mirror, which I hate.
Fewer drivers perceive speeding as dangerous.
Yeah, well,
but
it is.
Here's the study. It mentions that you would have to drive 100 miles at 80 miles per hour instead of 75 miles per hour to save 5 minutes.
Yeah, it is true.
Isn't
it's
that
ridiculous.
Crazy?
It is really
More
dumb.
Than 30% of drivers in the survey reported some kind of distracted or aggressive driving.
Right.
I guess mine would be aggressive.
A little aggressive. Yeah. Yeah. Get out of my way. I'm Kevin.
That, I need a loudspeaker. That could be anything from texting to switching lanes quickly or running red lights.
Mm, what? Never run red lights. I do not do that.
Just over 1% admitted to drinking and driving. But I assume that's just one nobody wants to admit to.
Yeah, but if anonymous, there you go.
So tell on yourself.
Yeah, do it.
You're the bad driver. How do you do it? 818-955-KLOS. How do you make driving in Southern California a little worse? 818-955-KLOS.
Now, that's a great driving song.
I love that, too. That's Bob Dylan's son.
Yeah, man. And that's got to be a little bit of like, hey, live up to that, my friend.
Right?
Good luck.
A little difficult.
I love you, Hove and the Wallflowers. Great stuff there.
We are talking about drivers admitting dangerous habits in a new AAA survey. it's anonymous, so people are willing to admit things that they do that they're not proud of.
And yet, Kevin and I have both admitted here in public, I drive way too fast and you weave like a mofo.
And we're asking you to tell on yourself as well. Why are you a bad driver?
I'm a drummer, so I play drums while I'm driving. I drive better with my knees anyway.
Wow, I mean, I do it on the steering wheel, but I keep my hands on for the most part. You really drive with your knees?
I have my two hands free, so I play my drums on the steering wheel.
All right, listen, thank you for self-reporting.
Yeah, what's your favorite song to drum to?
Metallica. Seek and Destroy. That's
there
cool.
you go.
That
right
is a pretty good one.
Thanks for calling.
So if
man,
we see
you.
Somebody air drumming in a car,
well no, it's Metallica.
KLOS, hello.
Hello.
Hi there. You're the bad driver. Why?
Yeah, well, I drive with my knees when I'm eating.
Two in a row, but this one with eating instead
eating,
of drumming.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll eat.
Do you drive with your knees when you do?
Sometimes.
You do?
For short amounts of space.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
If you're in traffic and you can see, I don't know why I'm justifying it. If you're in traffic and you're going straight and you can see half a mile in front of you, you can keep your car straight.
Is that what you're thinking while you're eating pizza or what have you?
Of course. I'm Pizza Mike from Downey. We have a great restaurant here in town. You should try it.
Okay. Pizza Mike? All right, I'll come down there and buy some pizza and eat it while driving with my knees.
That's a great tip. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, dude.
KLOS, hello.
That was weird.
Hello.
A strange turn. Hey.
I don't know if this could be dangerous because I could get a ticket, but I invested in a blow-up doll so I can put her right in the passenger seat, put a nice hat in the back seat, and now I'm carpooling for free.
Sure, that never works, by the way, just so you know.
Yeah, the day you get pulled over is going to be...
And second of all, you're going to have to take her out of the BJ position.
You haven't seen the wig on this girl.
Okay. I hope it doesn't come off at certain times, but thanks for calling.
KLOS, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Tell on yourself. Why are you a bad driver?
I don't know if it makes me a bad driver, but I like getting out there on drivers.
Who doesn't?
I'm going to say that makes you a bad driver.
818-955-KLOS.
You're the bad driver. Tell us why. AAA came out with a new survey of people who admit why they are bad drivers. So we're asking you to tell on yourself. Why are you a bad driver?
Hey, I'm a bad driver. Yay. I watch movies while I drive.
Where do you watch them?
On my phone. I prop it up on my car, and I just play Netflix and YouTube while I'm driving.
What's the closest call you've had?
Not very many, because my car drives itself.
Oh,
you have a self-driving car?
Yeah, I got a Subaru with those lane assist things. Oh, it's the best.
Wow.
I hardly have to look up.
And you say you drive like a couple hours every day?
Oh, yeah.
That scares me that you think you hardly have to look up. That scares me.
That's the future, man. That's where we're headed. Right on. Thanks for calling.
KLOS, hello.
I'd be watching Prawn.
Well, I'm not a bad driver, but what I do like to do is hit the vape pen that's got the good stuff in it.
Sure.
I mean, you're a terrible driver, then. Of course you are.
No. Yeah, why wouldn't it? More cautious.
It just seems like I'm going really fast, but I'm going like 15.
Makes you more cautious.
It is funny, since vape pens came along, and of course it's been legal, just the amount of smoke pouring out driver's side windows.
Yeah, true.
It just never happened like that before.
Yeah. But I'm not a bad driver because it makes you more cautious, because, you know, you don't want to get pulled over because it is a potential for a DUI.
Yeah, right. You know why?
Why?
Because it's not a good way to drive. And as far as you being a good driver, you're a...
Liar! 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 Sorry. You don't believe that he's a good...
He's a... Good
liar!
No, he's not a good driver.
No, all right.
KLOS, hello.
Hello.
Hey. Tell on yourself. Why are you a bad driver? What do you do that's wrong?
Well, I pick my nose. You know, I have really long fingernails.
It's
become a really bad habit. But it's really not, I'm not picking for boogers, I'm just picking for dry skin. And it's so much fun when I get something.
Wow, I love that you're admitting that.
I didn't even have to tell you my name, did I?
Wow.
Have you ever seen anybody staring at you like, oh my God, I can't believe what's going on?
No, I choreograph that. I like, when I'm pulled right next to somebody, I pull a little more forward so the seat blocks it. Oh yeah.
Wow. I'm very aware. She choreographs it.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Good.
That is so fun. I love listening to you guys in the afternoon.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
818-955-KLOS.
Why are you a bad driver? Hello, KLOS.
Hello, Kevin. It's Lugo.
Hi there. You're a bad driver. Why?
Well, driving down the freeway, keeping my distance, and people want to get in where their car can't fit. Does that make me a bad driver?
Oh, so you don't allow them to get in.
Do you speed up?
Yep, I do.
You speed up so that they can't get in?
That is correct.
Yeah, I think that makes you a bad driver.
I don't speed up, but I also don't slow down. If they like, I mean, I will maybe if they're really nice about it and ask for a while and try and come
over. I think in this particular case, maybe both of you are bad drivers. Yeah, the guy trying to butt in.
Oh, I know, I'm not a good
driver. But then you speeding up.
Yeah. Yeah, but they don't use a turn signal either.
Oh, yeah, to hell with them then. No doubt about it. Go ahead.
You win, they lose.
Exactly. You guys rock.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for calling, dude.
KLOS, hello.
Oh my gosh, hi, this is Monique.
Hi, Monique.
Hey, Monique.
You're a terrible driver, why?
I'm kind of guilty of doing what Sugo was saying, like just texting.
Just texting?
You text while you drive? You naughty, naughty girl, you.
I know.
And who are you texting with?
Like my husband, my boss.
Your boyfriend.
Just anybody that you can get on the phone.
Joe Blow down the street.
I need to text. I'm driving.
Like, I'm actually talking to you, like, while I'm driving home from work.
But are you talking on hands-free?
You're also texting, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm
not.
Right on. We love that. Thank you for calling, Monique. Yay, Monique!
Thank you.
Hello, KLOS.
Hello, guys.
Hey. Hi there.
So my newest thing I started is I honk my horn and tell everybody to get in my way because I'm famous because they said Carl from Jenkins Properties
is listening to KLOS. And I do have good hair, guys.
We just shouted you out about a half hour ago.
We dedicated this entire hour to you.
Thank you, guys. You are the best. Thank you, man.
And thanks for listening to this smelly KLOS thing at work.
Yes.
95.5 KLOS, Southern California's rock station. It's Kevin and Sluggo in the afternoon. You know how people are influencers?
I don't like writing on financial forums. Yeah, disc jockey. How much more so influencer?
Influencer. That's what I do. I'm an influencer.
Radio personality.
Chris Buckley is the name of this woman. She's gone viral for breeding snails.
And she's influenced
she's
other people to not.
She's a snail influencer. She breeds snails, collecting nearly 5,000 different species of them. And listen to this. With some as big as 10 inches long and weighing a pound and a half.
No.
Yeah.
That's not what you ever want. You don't need that. All that slime. Does she eat any of them? Does she cook them?
I don't have the answer. I doubt she eats them.
Yeah, I suppose not.
But here's the Channel 7 report. It's basically them just watching her holding like a giant snail in her hand and like talking about it. Blech. It's bizarre.
If snails creep you out, look away.
Please.
Here is it.
It's the size.
You know, I like local newscasters because they just... It's awesome.
Look at her hands, y'all. Look at her hands. Look at the nails. This is called a snail fluencer, this woman.
Snail fluencer.
Snail fluencer.
Nope. N-O-P-E.
Listen, that's what she is. We don't make the rules.
She first started a blog chronicling her snail pets, and it ended up going viral. She became an expert in snails and then started breeding them.
For what?
Why?
Okay, look, y'all, she has different sizes.
There we go. I can look at that. Okay, now she has some that are as big as 10 inches long and weigh a pound and a half. No. In total, she has around 5,000 snails.
Whoa, 5,000? Yep. I mean, if you're renting a place, do you have to go, I have 5,000 snails, some of them up to a pound and a half?
I'm assuming that's the least of her problems. I'm not positive, but if she's been breeding snails.
Oh, my God.
I mean, what?
Not going out very often.
That's a thing.
Wait, we're going to have to start using this dorky music.
If snails creep you out, look away.
Please. It is lovely music.
Why is everybody using crappy music? We're going to have to start doing that on this show because people hate
it. No matter what we talk about, we just play that music.
Lots of people died today. Blah, 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 blah.
It does soften the blow just a bit.
I hope y'all heard the clicking in the background.
Computer mouse.
This computer sucks.
It's quite loud.
And useless.
The top 10 scariest animals on Earth.
Oh, wow.
Top 10 scariest animals on Earth.
Scariest animals.
Get 6 guesses to get 4 of them correct. You've been on a roll?
Yeah, I have been. A Kaiser roll. It's delicious. Take a bite.
Oh.
By the way, $1 American is brought to you by Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel. Spend $1 American at Yamava. Maybe you'll become a millionaire. Visit yamava.com. Clearly, shark.
I'm giving you that one because you're already playing the music.
Is there an animal more? Is it number one on the list?
It is number 2.
Number 2.
And I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah.
The number 1 is BS.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So where'd this list come from? Joe's paranoia.
It's called
shop?
The Top Tens, and it's one of those sites where people go to rank to vote on stuff.
Right. So they're all afraid of something really dumb. Should be number 1.
Is number 2.
That's dumb. I mean, spiders are scary. Black widows, tarantulas, that sort of thing. Spiders.
Yeah. Number 3.
Number 3, really?
Yep.
I mean, you know.
Brown recluse specifically.
Yeah. Those who have not heard, Kevin was bitten by one of those.
Yeah, let's not talk about it anymore.
And still turns into a spider from time to time. Yeah, mm-hmm. Flies around the room.
Can fly.
Snakes. Boa constrictor. Why snakes? Why did it have to be snakes?
Snake.
Oh, nice.
Is number 4.
I enjoyed
you're
it.
Doing well.
Wow, going right down the list, even.
I mean, you're not starting at 1 because 1 is stupid.
I enjoyed in the new Indiana Jones when it was eels, actually, that he confronted. That was beautiful.
Is that a guess?
No, scorpions.
Scorpions.
Those of us from Arizona.
Whoa! That's correct.
Yes! What is going on? How is this happening? I'm going to be able to put my kids through college. That's $2 I've won this week.
Look at you on a roll.
Check me out. know you all want to be like me.
Top 10 scariest animals on Earth. Number 10 is also BS.
Yeah.
A worm.
Worm? Who's scared of a worm?
I don't know, unless they're talking about worms that get inside your body or something.
Did you see that story about that?
Yes.
There's a brain worm in this person's head. It was really long and alive.
It was like 75 feet. Yes. It was a head and alive in her head.
Yowza.
Yeah, that was gross.
Okay, that's scary.
Yes.
That's scary.
Number 9.
Yeah.
Bear.
Yeah, brown bear, I would think.
It doesn't say bears, the color. It just says bear.
Okay.
Number 8, tiger.
Hmm. Okay.
Wouldn't have thought of that.
No, not really. I don't run into very many tigers.
Number 7, scorpion.
Sure.
Number 6, lion.
Lion, sure, yeah.
Number 5?
Yeah.
Alligator.
Hey, that's fair enough. Alligators are, they are, what the hell?
Then you got 4, snake. You got 3, spider. You got 2, shark. And number 1?
Yeah.
Human.
Weak. That's so...
The only reason I wanted to do this weak. Top 10 list
because of that.
That's so lame.
They just thought they were so clever.
The human animal
is
the scariest of all.
Shut up. Some of those people that you get trapped talking to at a party.
You know what the scariest animal is?
I hate them.
It's a human.
Alligator.
There you go. Alligator. That's perfect. Frazier Smith is here. We're going to talk to him in just a matter of moments and do a deep dive into Jim Ladd. That is coming up next.
My name is Jim Ladd. This is 95 and a half KLOS. Ain't life a bitch? I mean, would you, can you believe this?
KLOS honors the legacy and spirit of the late, great Jim Ladd. One of FM radio's most fearless pioneers, distinctive communicators, and rebellious personalities. We raise a toast to the lonesome L.A. cowboy.
The world keeps turning. Life keeps turning, and certainly the radio dial keeps turning. This is 95 and a half KLOS, Los Angeles.
We just found out yesterday we lost Jim at age 75. We talked about it quite a bit, took a lot of calls, and Frazier Smith has joined us in the studio today. Frazier, welcome to KLOS. Welcome back. So nice to have you in the building, my friend.
Well, thank you. Sluggo, it's great to see you. And that was a nice piece put together by Stu Herrera about the lonesome L.A. cowboy.
Yes, exactly. Such a...
What an amazing and iconic DJ.
Yes.
Wasn't he one of the very best ever?
There are certain songs that have to be played. There are certain bands that need to be on the radio. But none of the glue is there without people like Jim Ladd. And yourself, and the people that got, you know, Dusty Street we just lost.
Well, we've been, unfortunately, we've lost several great legendary DJs recently. Dusty and Bob Coburn
a couple
years back.
Cancer.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And then Jim Ladd this weekend.
Yes.
Really a tough loss. Yeah. And all everyone in L.A. knew Jim Ladd.
Oh, yeah.
Knew that voice.
100%.
And actually around the country now because he was on XM. Mm-hmm. Sirius XM for the last couple of years.
Doing freeform like he's supposed to do.
He was the best freeform DJ, right?
Made radio. Yeah. It's made what made people interested in radio in the first place, was opening it up to people like that who loved the music and knew about it and knew the artist. And
he was a musicologist, as was Dusty and Bob Coburn.
And we've got Matt Pinfield now, that kind of
younger age.
Yeah. Yeah, the same sort of
younger
energy.
Skew, but he, same thing. They really loved the music, and they loved talking about it and sharing it. And sharing their knowledge of it with the public.
Well, Frazier's here. We're gonna do kind of a deep dive. We're gonna, of course, play the first song. And I know that Stu played this yesterday, but the song that Tom wrote for Jim, the last DJ. And I'll throw on a couple of songs and bands that he likes over the next half hour. It's 95 and a half KLOS. And we're putting A to Z on hold for just a little while as we got Frazier Smith in the studio to talk about the last DJ. That song all about Jim Ladd.
It was about Jim Ladd and Tom Petty. A good friend of his. And, you know, he really was the last DJ of that style.
Yes.
You know?
No, that's...
Him and Dusty and Dusty Street and Bob Coburn had that same kind of feeling for the music. They loved the music. And
tended to get in trouble with management because they wouldn't play the official playlist.
I still remember being at a Christmas party where I had to separate Jim Ladd from getting in a fight with the music director. I had to step in the middle. Hey, guys, come on. Because Jim, he was adamant about it.
Sure.
And that really should have been, he should have had that freedom.
Of course.
And I mean, a lot of years he did.
Yes.
But he knew the music. I remember he had the thing called Desert Island, where you could pick three songs you wanted to hear on Desert Island.
Yep.
He, you know, and he would put together those theme sets.
Right.
Better than anybody. Him and Coburn could put those theme sets together.
Yeah.
And it always told a little story, and I think the audience always liked that.
Yeah.
You know? And we had a lot of crazy experiences. I was on three stations with Jim Ladd. I was on KLOS, then KMET, the Mighty Met.
Yep.
Then he came back to KLOS, and then I was on KLSX with him for a while.
Right.
And it was always fun working with him. I remember the first night I met Ladd, I had just gotten hired at KMET, and I went in, and we were on after him, and I opened the door, and a giant cloud came, just what you expected to see from Jim Ladd, right? He had candles going, and the lights were turned off,
right? Sure.
And he's playing The Doors, The End, you know,
right?
And it was sunglasses.
Right.
In the dark.
Right.
That was Jim Ladd, right?
Yep.
How you doing, everybody? I'm Jim Ladd.
I miss that kind of stuff, man. I miss that kind of radio.
Well, that's FM radio. That's what it was all about. Yeah.
So, you know, talking about getting in trouble all the time, I know over at K-Rock, the same thing, like with Dusty, would butt heads with the music department as to what should be played. And that's just sort of a spirit that is missing these days to... I think we try and kind of do that here at this point in time, still leave it open more.
Well, you got to give KLOS a lot of credit because they're hanging in there. They've been here for 50-some years, and they are the rock station of Los Angeles, and they have kept the faith. So, you know, it's still a great station, and you guys do a great job. But back then, you know, Ladd and Dusty and those DJs came out of that free-form era.
Because
remember, FM radio was a dead zone. Nobody used it back in the day. And all of a sudden, in late 60s, somebody just said, all right, well, let's let these hippies come in here and do radio, you know? And that's how it really started. And freeform rap, too. I mean, Jim Ladd always had something to say.
Yeah.
Always something interesting, sometimes political, sometimes just about society. But he always had something interesting to say. And he would try to mix it with the music. And that's what I think original FM radio was like.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And...
yeah, you would hear a story and something would be going on in the news, and then you'd tune in that night, and he was not only talking about it, but playing music that in the back of your head, you go, right, that's what they were saying. That's, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
very
he knew how to
moment.
Tie that in. And he knew all the rock stars. They would come up to his house and a lot of times do the interviews.
Right.
He had a place up in Laurel Canyon with a tram that would go to his house.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's
And all the rockers would always come up there.
Sure.
He had the show Interview. Remember?
Right.
That was one of the first syndicated radio shows.
Yeah,
And Ladd would have all the rock stars on there. They're all buddies of his.
Yeah.
Very good friends with Stevie Nicks and Neil Young and Santana.
It is amazing to see not only we took so many calls yesterday about Jim and how he would talk to people and just really listen to what they had to say, but also all of these artists you just mentioned, they've all immediately posted just what a loss this
is. They all loved him. You know, they were all friends.
Yeah.
And he was also on the Radio Chaos tour with Roger Waters.
That's right.
He was part of the tour. He was on stage.
That's crazy.
And as a DJ, right? He was the...
It's a bit of a stretch, but
play
a DJ.
For him.
You mentioned Santana. I would like to throw something on, and then we have some tape that I believe Stu found that's kind of interesting from KLOS of Jim Ladd. Very sad to report that he passed away at age 75 yesterday. And so you got some tape. We're going to throw that on here in a bit. It's pretty incendiary or whatever.
All
it's
right.
Not the right word. But Santana on KLOS. Some Santana. Do you know what his favorite Santana? We're talking about Jim Ladd, and Fraser Smith has joined us in the studio. And Stu, how you doing, man?
Hey, man.
Stewie.
Thank you for taking the front lines yesterday when we got the news about Jim.
Yeah, well, my... I don't know how to answer that. It was not my pleasure, but I'm glad that I was here.
Nice job on that thing that you put together.
So.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, I was still kind of like at home messing around, coming in late, and I'm like, oh my god! I heard the news. I was like halfway here.
They had caught everybody off guard.
Yeah, 100%. 75 is way too young.
You know, catch everybody off guard. I hate it, and I just and I'm still wrapping my head around it. Like it still hasn't sunk in because I've been in the archives so much, and he's very much, you know, he's talking and he's very much still kind of alive to
who
me.
Who had a better voice than him, by the way, for
right?
Who? Radio?
I'm nobody.
Well, you're up there, my friend.
Yeah.
Well, mine.
You got an amazing voice. Now,
you do.
Mine's like rented. Came out of top 40 where you're like,
I just heard that 17th caller, 23rd caller. Well, you know what? They use the word legend a lot these days, but Jim Ladd really was a legend.
That's 100%
true.
Yeah. Right? So, yeah. Stu, you have, and some of the arguments and some of the anger he would go through sometimes was pretty legendary as well.
You know, that was what was so great. Like, Jim was not afraid of anybody, least of all the bosses, wherever he happened to be working.
That's right.
That's and, right. Yeah, he, I don't know how many times he got fired from Caleb. You and he have that in common. I know you guys got bounced around a few times.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. No, it's true, though. It's true.
Who hasn't been fired from radio?
You don't
for...
get fired from, you're not a radio person.
No, exactly.
I'm sorry. That disqualifies me.
Well, it's coming soon. I don't know if they told you.
It's got a K in front of it. I've been fired from it. But Lad and I, yeah, we did have that in common. Yeah. And we were good. What else? He had the same birthday. We had the same birthday.
No kidding.
Yeah. And we would always call each other on our birthday and talk.
And that's coming up soon, right?
Yeah. I'm going to miss this one.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of fun at all those stations. And I remember one thing I was going to tell was about the pizza guy at KMET.
The pizza guy.
Yeah. There was a guy, a fan, who would bring pizzas with a whole bunch of weed, bags of weed in the pizza box.
Nice.
Right? For the jocks.
That is my favorite man ever.
A buddy of lads, but we would, and then the security, my favorite part was the security guy would actually deliver it to the studio.
Dude.
And he had no idea
what
he was.
No idea.
You know what one of the things that I forgot to mention was, I don't know if anybody's brought it up, you might have, is that KMET, and I only know this because Jim talked about it so often, was that at KMET, back in the day, there was the studio where the jock was, and then there was a studio where an engineer was, and he was the guy who put the record on, put the needle on, and you know,
that was
just
a KLOS.
You would just point
to it. Was that because it was union?
Well, wait
I would
a second.
Imagine.
Yeah. Oh, but wait, there was a room at KMET in between those two studios. Maybe it was that, whatever. There were two rooms, and there was a little bitty room in between those two rooms, and it was like the dope room.
Ah.
Oh, yeah, we had the dope room.
Yeah, everybody, all the guests would come. It was like a green room, but it was literally a green room or a white room.
Well,
or
actually,
what?
The air studio was a dope room.
You had to get everybody in the mood, though, and you know, get them ready to go on the air.
A lot of times you couldn't see the equipment.
We
but,
need that here.
Because there's so much smoke in the air.
Exactly. And that's the first time I met Lad, a huge cloud of smoke came billowing up.
Well, so walk us through this tape that you found,
Yeah, so
Stu.
This was Lad at KMET, I think, phase two. So he'd been at KMET, been at KLOS, or maybe just been at KLOS. But he was at KMET with KLOS already one time in his rearview mirror.
Right.
And, you know, KLOS has had a lot of different owners, corporate owners through the years, and some of these owners run, you know, are better
than
others.
Let's say, they don't know what they're doing. There's plenty of time they bought a radio station.
They never do.
I don't know why I'm trying to be diplomatic here.
Yes,
anyway,
exactly.
So the folks at you know, they were known as the evil empire at KLOS back in the day, and this is one of the reasons why, because they would just wholesale, just steal stuff that they heard other stations doing, in particular KMET.
By the way, Jim loved them all.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, you got to love the radio stations. You don't necessarily love who's heading it.
I was being sarcastic.
Exactly. Really, really cozied right up to the owners and the management.
All right, so what is this?
So this is Jim calling out KLOS. This, I don't know if this is right, very appropriate of us to play.
Of course it is.
This is him on KMET tearing KLOS a new one.
Mighty
classic. There you go.
My name is Jim Ladd, and this is KMET Los Angeles, and I told you we were going to discuss something that has just come up. Maybe you have heard about it, and maybe not, but what we're talking about is the fact that KLOS, the radio station over to the right, has now announced that they have a brand new idea for a great thing to happen in the month of October. Perhaps you can guess what that is. That's right, they have coined the phrase Rocktober. Unbelievable. Now, I've sat quiet when KLOS ripped off KMET for doing commercial free time. We were the first to do that. Now they're doing it. I've sat silent while they started doing sets of songs. Wasn't that original? Who was the first person, who was the first radio station you ever heard do complete sets of groups? Well, they took that from us. They took the interview concept of interviewing rock and rollers. I've sat quiet through the John Lennon petition ripoff where they had John Lennon's petition and KLOS all over it. I've sat silent while they tried to rip off the Alliance for Survival Peace Sunday event. But now, ladies and gentlemen, I cannot be quiet anymore, and KMET will not be quiet anymore as KLOS comes out and wants to sell you, resell you, Rocktober. Now, I don't believe that you are stupid enough to buy the shiny package one more time? If you are, then maybe they're right. Let's hope not. Okay, this is a meeting of the board of the ABC, American Broadcasting Company. You don't have a station out there in Los Angeles, KLOS, but just mimeograph everything that KMET does, okay? Then we'll repackage it. Okay, now let's run this up the flagpole. Okay, now, we'll put some shine on it, okay? We'll make the disc jockey somewhere hip. And then. Good idea, JW. Spell that right now. Get it off to the coast. Get a memo on that. On this phone, do you mind sitting on my face and then listening to KMET?
Yeah.
Jim Ladd. Jim Ladd. What was the kind of thing that you would hear him and the jocks back then doing on the radio?
Yeah.
You'd like tune in and go, oh my God, this is heavy.
Well, you know, it was a real battle.
Yeah.
Back then, you know, FM radio was king. Yeah. Rock radio was king.
Yeah.
The ratings were through the roof, and we had several big stations. Mm-hmm. And it was always a battle between KLOS and KMET.
Yep.
And just to hear his passion
yeah.
about being over there and be like, what are you doing?
And,
you
know. And they did rip off Rocktober.
I mean, you know, yeah. Kevin and I no, could have a few stuff. Things to sure. say about a certain radio station, but we've avoided that.
I bet you did.
You know,
well,
whatever.
Jim wasn't going to do that.
Right.
He's not going to let that go.
What I love is what I love is that within a couple of years, he was back on KLOS. Yeah,
and then he was saying radio. The same thing about KMET.
Not really.
They were gone by then.
Radio.
But he was very, you know, I'd like to thank Bill Summers, Tommy Hadges, and all the folks for bringing me back here to KLOS. I've really missed KLOS so much.
Well, it's because it's the best.
Hey, man. Sooner or later.
When you jump ship.
Right? Sooner or later, exactly, you got to dance. You got to dance.
Eventually. But
Fraser Smith has joined us here in the studio. Stu is in. We're talking about Jim Ladd. Can you stick around a little longer?
Yeah, man.
All right. We're going to do some of these exciting commercial messages. We'll be right back. Time was you'd hear the doors on KLOS, and you'd immediately hear Jim Ladd coming out of
How you doing,
the doors.
Everybody, yeah. I'm Jim Ladd. That was the doors. I'm the lonesome LA cowboy.
Fraser Smith,
long-legged ponies.
A long-legged pony with a what was it? Lonesome LA cowboy looking for a long-legged pony to ride.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well done.
And Stu is in the studio. I want to ask you guys, Stu, when was the first time you met Jim Ladd? Do you remember the first time?
Yeah, it's actually a story. So I had a friend. I met him long before I ever came to work here. And I had a friend who was a volunteer on the switchboard, and she was answering phones like Tuesday nights or something. We worked together at a bookstore in Brea. So she invited me to come with her. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, of course I'll come.
How old were you then?
I would have been like maybe 18, 17 right. or 18.
Been listening to him forever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I go down. I meet Steve Downs is coming off the air. Rita Wild was there.
Nice.
Met them. Jim comes in. I'm just, you know, he comes in for some coffee. She introduces me, and he's kind of like, yeah, cool, nice to meet you. And, you know, he's busy. He's doing his show. Okay, great. So I'm in there. I'm answering phone calls and, you know, taking down the requests and stuff. And at some point in the night, some guy called up, and I forget, he was drunk, and he was like, hey, why don't you guys play Madonna? Or he was like, you know, giving me a bunch of dumb.
That was me.
Yeah, it probably was. Yeah. I don't know whoever it was, but I didn't like the call. He didn't like it. And so as I was hanging up the phone, I muttered something that I probably can't repeat on the air, just as Jim was walking into the room. And when he heard me, you know, talk apparently
giving crap to
apparently talking that way to a listener, dude, he came unglued on me. Ooh. Hey, what was that? Hey, no, you don't come in here on my show and talk to my listeners that way. I'm like, oh my God, no, it's not what you think. I'm so sorry. He was really
that's
mad.
That's so rough.
Because he loved his listeners that
sure,
much, right?
100%.
So we went away, and I felt so bad. I went,
oh, is that when you had the whole face change and everything? So when you came back, you wouldn't recognize
Bingo,
you?
That's when I got the surgery. And so as I left, I apologized.
For a lot of reasons.
We moved in that night, too. I don't know if he was mad about that.
And well, Fraser, you've worked with Jim Ladd for so long. Do you have any particular time on the air with him that you remember?
You know, I don't know that we ever really did a crossover or anything because we were at opposite ends. I was, you know, he was the nighttime guy and I was the morning guy. But we were buddies and we'd always call up and do, I would always call other members of the staff and do Jim Ladd impressions. And then one time somebody taped one of them and put it on the air.
Oh, nice.
But apparently he didn't find it too flattering.
What sort of things are you saying?
Freeze, why did you say that about me? I don't do cocaine. I forget what I said, but right. It was something that he took.
Did you bring
to.
In that just the slightest country twang that he had, which I loved? And it was when he'd get upset or a little mad, he would come out just a little more.
I don't know if I have it down.
I love that. I mean, it's just, I don't know. Just sort of very American, to me.
How you doing, everybody?
I'm Jim Ladd.
Thanks for being my friend.
Yeah. There was another great moment, little story. I had just had a crazy long weekend with a big bag of mushrooms. And
really used to?
Yeah, no. This was a long time ago, prior life. Sure. Now they're legal anyway. But I was watching with Jim, and I was saying, hey, Jim. And I asked him about, his use of psychedelics, because it was, he'd written about it and stuff. And he says, well, Stu, I don't do psychedelics anymore. And I said, oh, that's kind of surprising to me. I got why not? And he goes, Stu, let me tell you, when you get the message, hang up the phone.
Wow, that's a really good way of putting it.
That's so
the message yet, Stu?
I haven't got the message yet, so I'm still on the phone.
Well, take your time.
And thank you so much yesterday for taking all the calls. We took a lot of calls.
I bet the listeners.
Yep.
Yeah.
So many great calls.
They all loved him.
Yep.
Well,
listen, Fraser Smith, thank you so much for stopping by. My goal, as you know, is to get you back in this damn radio station and back on the radio.
Yeah,
fellas, I appreciate that. That is also my goal.
Man, what do you got coming up? What are you doing?
I'm doing a lot of stand-up comedy these days. And, Christmas at the Laugh Factory.
Oh, yeah.
Jamie Masada, the owner there, has done a really nice thing it started here at KLOS, actually. Mm. And on Thanksgiving and Christmas, he feeds homeless people and anybody who doesn't have somewhere to go.
Yeah.
So a lot of the comics go down and help out with that. And Jimmy used to come down. He used to love to go to Laugh Factory. He's good friends with Jamie and would always come down there, he and his wife. And the comedians come down and serve people, and then we do some shows for them on Christmas. So if you don't have anywhere to go, we'd love to have you come down and join us at the Laugh Factory.
Laugh Factory on Christmas. That's fantastic. Yeah. Fraser Smith will be there. That's awesome. Listen, he was good friends with Neil Young.
Neil Young were really good friends. Yeah.
I thought we should throw one out. And
why not close it out with that?
I haven't seen it. I've seen so many posts from so many different artists. I haven't seen if Neil has what he's had to say yet.
I'm sure he's going to weigh in.
That's going to be so
hard. Because that was his good pal.
Yeah. 75, so young, and just found out the news yesterday. Fraser, thanks for stopping by. Stu, you rule. We were just saying you are the epitome of KLOS.
He is the poster child.
Right?
Really?
Yeah.
KLOS. Exactly.
Where's the poster?
where is that
it's
poster,
in the mail.
Child? Where's the check?
People are dumb.
It's true.
People are dumb when you're a dum-dum. Kevin and Slugger, they ought to know.
A Tennessee man, Henry Mead, was arrested after he allegedly drove children in a parade while under the influence.
Oh, dude, come on. So you're driving down the street with a bunch of idiots sitting on either side. I hate a parade.
Same.
Watching you. Don't you, right?
Yeah,
isn't it awful?
And this was a Christmas tractor parade.
No kind of recipe for disaster there.
And it was Saturday. What's happening?
I'm just bored.
I don't understand any of this.
Where's this at?
A southern town in Tennessee named Tazewell.
No, they probably do it every Saturday.
He was driving Santa's train, a motorized lawnmower, pulling carts of children.
Oh, man. And he's drunk off his ass?
The cops get him out. They give him the test. Right? He's like stumbling all over the place.
Oh,
he can't point to his nose.
Wow.
They arrest him, and they find, let me see if I can find the list of things.
Oh, yeah.
they found meth.
Wow.
Narcotics. And a syringe.
A syringe, just for added fun.
You're going to tow children in a Christmas parade.
How are you? Kids get it. It looks like fun. Hold on, I need to shoot up. We can go.
It's not like you're driving and you're endangering the car that passes you.
Right.
That one person might see you act erratically.
Right.
This is a parade where you have children you're towing.
They're all staring at you from their stupid lawn chairs.
Yes.
They're having their warm beer outside watching this tractor parade going, that dude looks a little more wasted than the rest of us.
Right, that's true.
He might actually be.
So they called the police and they did the sobriety test and he failed it and they found meth and his syringe and other narcotics.
Did we get a hold of Santa for a comment on this?
We did not.
Oh, damn.
I think it may be too early. I'm not sure why. 95.5 KLOS, Southern California's rock station. Kevin and Sluggo in the afternoon. Meet the world's most experienced driver. Is how they say it.
Okay. All right.
This is an automated driving car that is already in Santa Monica.
How could it be that experienced? They're brand new. I mean, even if it's been around for 20 years at this point.
You'll hear in the news report, but it's been around for a minute.
Yeah.
And they've done a lot of testing on it. And it seems to be... Listen, I don't know. Would I get in one? I don't think so.
I don't like other people driving. I need to drive basically all the time. I started... How old were you? I got my license the day I could when I was 16.
Same.
Literally, I think it was on my birthday. And I've driven so much, so often, so far that I just don't trust anybody
else. Well, here's the thing. They say... Well, let's play the...
Okay.
Let's play the newscast.
Right. Oops. That's not going to happen.
No. We're going to play the newscast in a second. They will point out the amount of problems that humans cause.
Sure.
And they're saying that this is way safer.
How many accidents have you been in, though, that you caused yourself?
Probably one or two.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe. I've maybe done two fender benders that could be like, you were at fault, but no, I was never charged. So it depends on the drivers.
Here's the report.
Okay.
This is a Waymo vehicle, an autonomous ride-hail service coming to Santa Monica this month.
A definitive NHTSA study, National Highway Transportation Safety Association, showed that 94% of crashes that happen in America are the result of human error.
Do you watch, like, on Instagram, there's all those random videos, and there's so many dash cams and street cams, you know, and you just see people doing the dumbest things.
Yeah.
The cars just disintegrate. They just explode. And certainly, all of them are caused by someone being stupid.
94%, they say, are caused by human stupidity.
100%.
So they're going to cut this out.
Yeah.
With a self-driving car.
They keep running into people.
Waymo was founded in 2009, initially, but no longer a part of Google. Ever since, they've been designing and tweaking the technology to remove the driver altogether. We got to ride around in a Waymo car, and I had a lot of questions.
What happens if you want to change your destination?
I'm sorry, this is a computer. I can't answer your question. I'm sorry, we're driving where we're going.
Shut up, Karen.
But the truth is, it's similar to other ride-hail and rideshare companies. There's just no one turning the steering wheel. You order a ride on your Waymo One app. When it arrives, you'll see your initials flashing on the top of the car.
Hey, get in! Woo! All right, let's party!
The fully electric vehicle is covered in cameras and sensors. Unlock it from the app and hop inside. As a rider, it definitely takes some getting used to, and it turns heads. You control everything yourself, except for the driving, of course. From music to temperature, even giving you a map and estimated drop-off time. With more self-driving cars hitting the road this month, the ongoing debate continues, balancing safety assurances with questions about autonomous transportation in real-world scenarios.
I mean, can't imagine being in an automated car.
Wouldn't trust it, man. What if it just keeps going and it's heading right to a wall and there's not a damn thing you can do about it?
A wall or just an accident happening that you can see.
Yeah,
that you could have done something
coming your way.
I don't know. That seems so weird.
I've seen a few things, and I can't point out exactly, but I know I've seen a few things where the automated car just doesn't stop at the stop sign or runs into someone because they don't. I mean, this one apparently really is loaded with cameras.
Sure.
But I mean, clearly it's going to happen. We're going to have tons of them all over the place.
Yes.
And these are the early days.
Especially
here
in a city like Los Angeles.
Yeah, in 2023,
for sure.
Clearly. But
I'm going to wait.
Me too.
I'm going to wait for the 2.0.
Yeah, at least. Maybe the 8.0. You know, for the last, I don't know, couple hundred years, you've been listening for those keywords to go see those guys in Palm Springs at the Acrisure Arena on Crew Year's Eve. But, you know, I was thinking right now, I got a pair. It fell off a truck. This pair fell off a truck. Don't ask questions. Just be caller 25 818-955 KLOS right now, and you get a pair of tickets to see Motley Crue. Who's this?
Alex, caller 25.
Caller 25.
Woo!
What are you planning on doing on Crew Year's Eve if you hadn't won?
I don't know.
It would have sucked, huh? It would have blown. It would have been horrible. You would have been bored out of your mind. But now...
Yes?
Yeah, I don't know. That's up to you. Acrisure Arena in Palm Springs, Crew Year's Eve. You're there.
Awesome. What do I got to do?
Oh, you don't want to know. It's disgusting.
That's why we love it.
Please, no pictures. No pictures. No pictures. No pictures. Hey! Hey, want to go to Knott's Merry Farm? We got a family four-pack of tickets to enjoy the holidays at Knott's Merry Farm now through January 7th. The park is completely transformed into a classic winter wonderland, and you and three of your closest friends are going if you call her 25 right now. 818-955-KLOS. Good luck. Hi, KLOS. Who's this?
Hi, am I caller 25?
Hold on a second. Let me check the official records. This says you are a wombat. Is that possibly true?
What?
Oh, a wombat. Oh, no, hold on. That's not right. I'm reading this wrong. Yes, you're caller 25.
No way. I won the ticket.
Yeah, you're going to Knott's Merry Farm with a family of four-pack tickets.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
Extreme, get the funk out and play that funky music, white boy. Who are you talking to right now on your phone? Hang up on him. Because you need to call us and be caller 25, 818-955-KLOS. L.A. Kings are taking on the San Jose Sharks on Wednesday, December 27th. That is at Crypto.com Arena. You can get your tickets right this second at LAKings.com/tickets. Or, better, be caller 25 and you get them for free from KLOS. Since it first came into existence, that has been one of my favorite Beatles songs. I have listened to it exactly 1 bazillion times, but you only get to hear it once right now because we are up to the G's in A to Z, getting better, and that's nice and all, but who's this?
Ron.
Ron, did you have any plans to be close to ice on Wednesday, December 27th?
I did not, but now hopefully I do now.
You do, you're caller 25.
Awesome.
Dude, you got four tickets to the LA Kings. They're taking on the San Jose Sharks at Crypto.com Arena, and you're there. You're invited. You're supposed to go.
I'm going.
Who are you going to take with you?
Probably my kids.
Oh, nice. Right on. All right, well, congratulations, and if you are not Ron, what are you thinking? You should be Ron. Shouldn't they be Ron? Ron?
Yes, they should be
wrong. You can get your tickets right now at LAKings.com/tickets. Congratulations, man.
Thanks, Kevin. So I appreciate it.
The tender musings of the Sex Pistols on KLOS. A to Z, God Save the Queen, followed by Godzilla, followed by you winning a family four-pack of tickets to Knott's Merry Farm. Enjoy the holidays at Knott's Merry Farm now through January 7th. It's completely transformed into a classic winter wonderland. And if you're caller 25, 818-955-KLOS. Take a shovel down there because it's been snowing and you win. Good luck. Hey, by any chance, do you know a John Alvarez in Long Beach? If you want to go to Knott's Merry Farm, you want to get a hold of him because he just won a family four-pack of tickets. And we got more chances for you to win when you least expect it.
95.5 KLOS, so the California's rock station. It's Kevin and Sluggo in the afternoon.
First, it was good. A bunch of good songs. Now it's goodbye. A hell of a lot of goodbye songs. Can you guess what's coming up as we do the G's in A to Z? And if not, you will be punished. Keith Moon collapsed on stage during a Who concert in Ontario on this day in rock in 1965. 2 6-foot-high eyeballs donated by Pink Floyd, originally made to promote the Pulse DVD, were sold at auction on this day in rock in 2006, raising £16,500 for the homeless charity Crisis.